on this episode of Harvard Business Beat.
I think sometimes the name Learning Center gets people to call us thinking that, you know, we're childcare. That is not at all what we do.
Right.
And we're not traditional tutoring either. So kind of in general terms, if you just wanted to find us on Google, you're going to search tutoring and, you know, we're going to pop up.
Right.
But tutors tend to be more homework help. Right. Like I'm struggling in chemistry or I'm struggling in algebra two. And so we kind of Google for a tutor and find somebody that way. But that's not what we do. We actually have a very different process. And we believe very much in fixing the root of the problem as opposed to band-aiding the situation, which is what traditional tutoring has a tendency to do.
Welcome to Harford Business Beat, featuring members of the Harford County Chamber of Commerce, sponsored by Harford County Living, bringing you all the good positive news, businesses, events, organizations, people, and just everything great here in Harford County. Go to harfordcountyliving.com and find out more. I'm your host, Rich Bennett. Let's go meet some members of the Chamber. Natalie and I are sitting here today. We have Melissa Metzger with us, and she's with Huntington Learning Centers of actually Bel Air and Perry Hall, correct?
Correct, yep.
And we're going to learn more about Huntington and all the great things they do, and then we are going to hit her hard with questions about the Chamber. But then she gets to fire back and ask Natalie hard questions. Nobody's allowed to ask me questions, just Natalie. So, first of all, how you doing, Melissa?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. Absolutely. Our pleasure. So, actually, before we get into Huntington, tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been with them, and why did you decide to go with them?
So, I actually, my initial career, 20 some years ago, was actually teaching. So I started career in Baltimore City Public Schools, left there and worked within Baltimore City with Big Brothers, Big Sisters mentoring programs.
Oh, nice.
And then in 2007, I actually interviewed for the center director position at our Perry Hall, Huntington. And I got sucked in, and I've been there ever since. So I was the center director there for several years, and then the owner at the time owned both the Perry Hall and Bel Air centers and needed somebody to kind of be the go-between. So I became the regional director for both locations. And then in 2020, when he decided it was time to retire, my husband and I purchased the centers from him. So
really?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
So I started as an employee and became a franchisee after my time there. So it is my calling. Great. It's where I feel at home. So it was kind of the next logical best step. And, you know, it was good for him to be able to hand it over to someone he knew would take care of it and put the same, you know, kind of love and care into it that he did for, you know, 20 some odd years. And so here we are today.
And you're actually still teaching, right?
Not
in Baltimore City, but in Huntington.
So, yeah, I do work with our kids sometimes. I'm definitely not a franchisee that's, you know, taking crazy vacations and letting other people do the grunt work. So I am actually in the center every day in one capacity or another, meeting with parents, you know, doing college counseling, but also teaching. Yep, I'll be teaching this afternoon as well.
That's cool.
In person, not virtually, right?
In person, yes. No, the minute we could reopen, that was the first thing that I did was like get rid of the Zoom tutoring, because it's just there's something to be said for sitting next to a child when they're working and teaching them versus trying to, you know, do charades through the computer and explain things that way.
So exactly what is Huntington Learning Centers? Because correct me if I'm wrong, it's different than daycare, right?
We are not daycare at all. Yeah, I think sometimes the name Learning Center gets people to call us thinking that, you know, we're childcare. That is not at all what we do. And we're not traditional tutoring either. So kind of in general terms, if you just wanted to find us on Google, you're going to search tutoring and, you know, we're going to pop up.
Right.
But tutors tend to be more homework help, right? Like I'm struggling in chemistry or I'm struggling in algebra two. And so we kind of Google for a tutor and find somebody that way. But that's not what we do. We actually have a very different process. And we believe very much in fixing the root of the problem mm-hmm. as opposed to band-aiding the situation, which is what traditional tutoring has a tendency to do.
Okay. Yeah. And what pulled you... I know I have a funny feeling I know what your answer is going to be because I know Huntington does a lot of great stuff. But what actually pulled you into this?
So for me, you know, obviously with going to school to become a teacher and mm-hmm. wanting to help kids be successful, what's really great about what we get the capacity to do is, you know, I can individualize, right? So I can give a child what they need in the way in which they need it. To ensure right. that they're going to be successful. I don't have to follow a curriculum that system says you have to do this mm-hmm. when it's not always the right thing for that child. And so because we're able to really tailor everything we do to each learner, we're able to see so much success. And not just academic success, but emotional success, right? Because some of our kids coming in might be 6, 7, or 8 years below in terms of right. grade level of where they are. And so to watch them become kids that, you know, hate school and are so frustrated by learning start to develop a love of that is more than rewarding.
Yeah. And the thing is with you guys, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe I'm wrong on this because well when you and I met a while ago, I've been following Huntington. You guys, the reviews are out of this world. I mean, they're phenomenal, right?
I would hope so.
From everything I've seen,
they are. You know, because again, it's different, right?
Right.
You know, it's, you know, even other learning centers, you know, we're not a place where you just drop your kid at the door and we'll call mm-hmm. you to pick them up when we're done or when things are fixed, right? Like we work very closely with our families, not just our kids, to make sure that when the kids leave us, that if they need other supports from school, that we're teaching the parents how to advocate for those supports, that we are helping them understand if their child has a disability, what that means for their learning and what right. they need in their education to be successful. So for us, it's not just a show up, we're going to teach you how to do some addition and subtraction, but rather we're going to give you the tools to be successful, but also the parents the tools so that they can, you know, be good advocates for their kids. So it is, like I said, a very different kind of approach.
You guys also, you help kids with like ADHD and all as well, right?
Absolutely. I would say okay. probably, and it definitely fluctuates throughout the year, but I would say at any given time, 50 to 70% of our kids coming in have learning disabilities or medical issues of one kind or another. So they might have dyslexia, they may have ADHD, they may have anxiety. Mm-hmm. We've seen a huge increase of kids coming in with severe anxiety since the pandemic.
I bet it's, yeah.
Big time. And so we work, you know, again, because we can adapt to every kind of kiddo, it doesn't matter in our world because we're able to work around all of those things.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, because we keep talking about kids, but is there like an age limit where you guys start and stop?
So we typically don't start working with kids until they're about ready for kindergarten,
okay.
just because development, right? I mean, to ask a three-year-old to sit and do academic work in a traditional kind of format, they're just developmentally not ready for that.
Right.
And so we'll work with pre-K students who are a few months from starting kindergarten to get them the kindergarten readiness skills. And we do work all the way up. I've had adults that I've worked with that are in their 70s.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a woman, in fact, several years ago that she just never learned to read. And she was very fortunate. She had an employer who was willing to pay for her to go someplace to have them teach her how to read. And so we were able to do that for her, which was pretty cool. So she could learn to read applications. And I remember her telling me a story about going to jury duty and she had to fill out the paperwork and she couldn't read it. And so, you know, she wanted to be able to do life skill sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So, and we've worked with, you know, young adults with special mm-hmm. needs who just need to learn some basic life skills of math, for example. So like I said, with it being individualized, there's no limit to what we can do.
Man, 70 years old.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Her.
And you guys also do test prep as well, right?
We do.
For like SATs and stuff?
We do. We do a lot of SAT prep and ACT prep. In our area, SAT tends to be a little bit more popular, just because that's, frankly, the contract that the schools tend to have versus the ACT. Other parts of the country, you're going to see more ACT. So we do a lot of SAT prep as well. You know, there's been a lot of information in the news about how that's changed and, you know, requirements and all of that. And so it's confusing for a lot of families. So, you know, we really sit down and we're able to teach them about the test and understanding how to do college research and, you know, look at what expectations are, because all of those change year after year. But just like our regular program, it's all individualized. So it's built based around what that student needs to work on to raise their score versus just kind of a generalized group class.
Is there anything you guys don't do?
Haven't come across it yet. I'll let you know when I do.
No, I mean, I've Natalie, can you tell them a fan of theirs?
How can I you just, not be?
Well, I mean, when you contacted me years ago, I just, because you still send me press releases every once in a while, I've just been so... Oh God, it fills my heart to see what you guys are doing, and you're making a change, which is a big thing, and especially now since, you know, after the pandemic with the anxiety and everything the way it's been, and I think it's just getting worse. I don't think it's getting better yet.
It's been tough. I think it was hard on our kids, you know, just having that isolation. And I think that's one of the things we've seen is just going into a traditional school setting and having structure again. That was a big adjustment, even for kids up, you know, as old as high school and getting back into the routine. But a lot of kids fell behind. Virtual learning left a lot to be desired.
Actually, and I don't know if you guys do this or not, but do you work hand in hand with like any, whether it be nonprofit or business, like support groups? Because, you know, we talked about with kids with ADHD, you know, that you help out. But what sometimes the parents need that support group. Do you work with any support groups or that you can recommend parents to or something?
I don't have a specific kind of group or support groups. I've done workshops with schools in the past where some of the schools will, you know, do it as a PTA event where they'll pull together and we'll, you know, focus on a specific topic, whether it's, again, ADHD strategies, homework strategies. We do SAT workshops, those sorts of things. I don't necessarily, I wouldn't say I have a partnership with any specific groups. For ADHD, though, there is a national organization called CHADD, CHADD.org, that I refer a lot of parents to because they do have a lot of local support groups and webinars and a lot of really valuable information for parents, you know, especially. I think one of the things with kids with ADHD that a lot of parents don't know because no one's educated them on it is that ADHD is not just about paying attention. It impacts what's called your executive functioning skills.
Right.
And those are the skills you need to organize, to plan, to regulate your emotions. And so when they're educated on that, it's like the sky's opening up. It's like, oh, this makes so much more sense. I understand why these things are happening. But I think CHADD does a great job of trying to educate parents on those pieces because it is much bigger, you know, than just a focus diagnosis.
So is there anything that you would like to do at Huntington that you're not doing yet?
In terms of academics or working with students, what, tell me.
Either or, overall.
I don't know if there's anything necessarily within the center because I think, again, with everything being individualized, I can do anything that anybody asks me about, you know, and, and again, with, you know, sometimes I'll have parents say to me, you know, my child has this issue or, you know, has a IQ of 62, you know, can you work with them? The answer is absolutely. I think what's important is that we help people understand expectations, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you do have a child with that significant of an issue, they can still learn, but progress will be slow. You know, they have to learn in a very particular way. And so I think there hasn't been anything yet that I've, you know, I'm like, oh, we can't do that, or I'd like to do that, because I feel like we're doing most of it.
Right.
In regards to that, I think I would love to be able to do more workshops, like I mentioned, within the community, partner more with other organizations and schools. I think sometimes people think it's going to be a sales pitch when it is not a sales pitch. It is me just going in and trying to educate people about whatever the topic is. And so I think sometimes they shy away a little bit from that. But I think I would like to be able to do more community-based sorts of things, I think would be wonderful.
Okay. So something very important. Tell everybody the website and how they can get in touch with you.
So if they want to call us, you can call 1-800-CAN-LEARN. So that's a little bit easier to remember than a phone number. And it'll prompt you to put in your zip code, and that'll get you directly to us. There is also our website, of course, which is www.huntingtonhelps.com. And there's all kinds of information on there. Some might say too much information, but we try to put it all on there. And then, of course, we have our Facebook page where you can go in and find us for both. There's a page for our Bel Air Center as well as our Perry Hall location.
So how long have you guys actually been a member of the chamber?
Oh, gosh. I'm not sure if I could put a number on it, but if so I know years. For us, I mean, years. I mean, our Bel Air location has been there almost 26 years. So,
wow.
Yeah. I don't know if people realize that, but we have been in that community for 25, will be 26 years in November. So, you know, I can't speak to the former owner's involvement. I know he was very involved in the chamber, so I'm guessing he was a member for most of those years, if not all of them. But I know we've been members since we took over in 2020.
Okay. And what's probably one of the biggest things you've gotten from being a member of the chamber?
I think what's been nice for me is some of the information that I'm able to share with families. Mm-hmm. So, for example, you know, as you know, joining the education committee calls, I was able to learn about TUNE and hadn't really had a lot of exposure to TUNE. And so to be able to share with parents, hey, listen, there's an affordable college option in our area where, you know, you can start with Harford Community College and then become a Towson student without actually having to drive all the way down to Towson. And, you know, it's going to cost you a fraction of what it would cost. So to be able to take information like that and share that with our families that some of them may not have knowledge of, you know, as they're going through the traditional college process. I think experiences like that and being able to participate in conversations and hear information like that's been very valuable for me.
So now this is a tricky question. Not really. But what would you like to get from being a member of the chamber that you haven't gotten yet?
That is a tricky question.
I didn't think so.
Well, it's hard, right? Because I think I personally would love to be able to attend more events. I think for me, part of the challenge with getting to the events is that our operational hours are from, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock at night.
Right.
So that can present a bit of a challenge for me to be able to physically get to events. So it was kind of nice when things were virtual for a while because I could at least log on from wherever I was and be able to jump onto calls. But I think, you know, being able to connect with chamber members with like-minded goals and objectives, like-minded interests in terms of, you know, our ability to support the education system in Harford County.
Right.
And what we can do as community members to help continue to improve the education and support our school system, I think would be something that I would like to be able to get.
So actually, how many people do you guys have in the center on weekday mornings, especially like a Wednesday morning?
Well, in the summer, I got a lot because we're full of kids.
Well, during school session.
During the school year, not many. It's pretty quiet. Yeah, because I just have myself and I have two full-time people that are there during the day. Every once in a while, if we have an adult learner, they may be there. But during the day, during the school year, kids are in school. So it's pretty quiet.
I think when school gets back into session, then maybe coffee and connections at the Bel Air location.
That would be
on
great.
A Wednesday morning.
That would be great because, you know, we're actually doing some remodeling in the next month. So it'll be fresh and new.
There you go.
There you go.
See that? Sometimes I do have good ideas.
There you go. One step ahead.
So what is it that Huntington can actually provide to the chamber and its members besides a coffee and connections one month?
Well, I think, you know, we've tried to participate in events when we can. Mm-hmm. I know that we recently were sponsors of, was it the mini golf? I want to say golf, but it was mini golf. The mini golf event. I know we sponsored a scholarship for the teacher scholarship breakfast in the past. So we like to be involved. I will tell you that I am terrible with reading through emails and going and all that stuff. So hit me up directly for stuff. Like, send me direct emails. Be like, hey, this something might be interesting to you, because I'm terrible staying up on all the newsletters and all that kind of stuff, just with all the emails I'm doing for work day to day. But, you know, I'm happy to be involved with chamber events and sponsorships and activities like that, you know, in terms of there was another part to your question, and I totally lost what I was going to say.
What you can provide to other chamber members.
Oh, what I can provide to other chamber members. You know, we're certainly an educational resource. So, you know, I'm always happy to talk to any members if, you know, like you said, if they have organizations where you think we would be able to partner well, where I could do workshops or they could use some advice or feedback. I'm happy to do those things. You know, the other thing that, and I feel like it was in paperwork or the chamber book or something a long time ago, is for chamber members, we always do half off our assessment fee as well. So I know there was a place where some of that stuff was promoted at one point, but I don't know how long that's been.
The membership portal. If you go into the membership portal under...
See, that's the stuff I'm bad at, because I have to go in and physically do it myself, right?
Wait a minute. Are you telling me you need Natalie to come there and teach a class on that?
I mean, I know how to do it. Again, I'm just running two businesses. So it's more about the time to go in and do that stuff than you know, the desire. The desire is there, just the time to get in there and post stuff. But
all right, so one more question for you, and then you get to hit Natalie. I mean, not hit her, but you get to ask Natalie anything you want. So what, you know, because the chamber, we're always looking to approve, you know, ourselves as well. Mm-hmm. And what COVID, when that happened, I mean, God, I think the chamber thought outside of the box. We were doing the virtual, a lot of the virtual things. And actually, we still kept bringing members on, which I loved. But what can the chamber improve upon or add to help the members out and to even get new members?
In terms of adding or getting new members, I think, and part of this is just, it's interesting because it's a conversation I had with a committee I'm on. I'm in the executive committee for the Business Roundtable for Education in Harford County. And, you know, part of what we've talked about with getting members there is, I think one of the things that's important when you're trying to get people to join is telling them what they're getting out of it. Right. Like, people want to know what's in it for me. And I hate to say it that way, but that's the reality of how a lot of people think, what's in it for me. And so I think a part of getting new members is making sure that people always understand what they're getting out of it. You know, what's in it for me sort of conversation. I think in terms of events, I think you guys do a great job of a lot of events and opportunities. Like I said, for me, the only challenge is it's timing. You know, being able to coordinate attendance and some of those things. Hopefully, you know, someday when I have this huge staff and I can leave the building because I'm not here teaching or doing conferencing all the time, I would love to be able to do more of those things.
Right.
But I think for me personally, the only thing, and I was just saying this a few minutes ago, would be hit me directly. So if there's something that you, and I know you've got, you know, so many members, it's not like you can send personal emails to everybody all the time, but if there are certain things that you think would be helpful or specific to a group or a type of business, sending information directly to that group and say, okay, all these people are educational people, these are things that might be of interest to them, so let me send this specifically to them so that they know that this is out there, versus kind of the general emails that go out. Does that make sense?
Yeah, oh no, it makes perfect sense.
Because for me, people like me, who again, I'm time is my problem, being able to go right to it and be like, yeah, that's specifically for me, and that would be of interest. And which I know happens a little bit with like when there's grants and things. I know sometimes we get emails saying that there's proposals opening up or a grant that you know may be of interest to us, but I think in terms of events that would be helpful too.
Okay, so now's your chance. You get to ask Natalie any questions you want. I see. I always let the guests do that first because Natalie comes back and asks some hard questions.
I was going to say, that's hard. I don't even know. I'm not sure I know what even to ask Natalie.
Well, maybe I don't know how to do the membership portal.
I know I was logged in at one point, you know, so I'm sure I can figure it out.
How to find time for yourself.
There you go. There you go. Well, I guess that is a question then. So with the membership portal, how often does it need to be updated? Is it something that I can just log in and post information like once and then it stays there?
Yeah, well, that is definitely up to you and definitely depends on what it is that you want to share. Okay. But like you mentioned, the things like offering discounts to other members, you can set that for as long as you want to, really. Right. So if you wanted to set that indefinitely, you know, you just put an end date in there of, I don't know, 10 years from now, and it'll stay up there. Or you can, you know, if you want to offer a special deal for 6 months or a year or whatever, you have full control over that. So, you know, it is kind of nice if you, you know, if you have 10 minutes, go in there, put it in, and you don't have to do it for the rest of the year, as long as you're, you know, comfortable with offering a discount for that long, then go for it. It'll stay up there, and it'll go to the portal. It goes out via email. It goes out on our website. So you're getting multiple touch points with like one post, which is nice. You know, you enter it in there once. It goes out in multiple places at the same time. You don't have to do that repeatedly, you know, for the same thing. But yeah, you know, cater it to you, what you want, what you need. You know, we've got people in there that are posting, you know, you can post individual posts as often as you want, and there's people that post daily, and then there's people that, you know, will do that a long-term thing. So yeah, whatever works best for you.
I guess another question I thought of, we were sitting here, I know in, and unfortunately I haven't been able to attend the last couple education committee meetings, but in some of the meetings that I've attended in the past, there was a lot of discussion about, you know, great opportunities that the chamber set up where people can volunteer their businesses to connect with students for internships and some of that kind of stuff. And I know that there was a big need where a lot of the committee was struggling to get businesses to know about it and also to figure out how to sign up for it. So I guess that's one of the things that I think would be helpful too is, you know, when we're talking about the education committee in particular, since that's the one that's most relevant to me that I've participated in, that thinking about ways that other committees can work together to say, okay, this is our need on the education committee. How can some of the other subcommittees help with this need and assist with that need? Maybe some more intermingling, so to speak, between the committees. Because I feel like historically it's been very kind of separated, at least in my experience. So I guess that would be the other thing that I would say, if we can find a way for committees to mingle together, not just at a, you know, a networking event, but more so, hey, this is what we're finding is a need. What other subcommittees can we set up a meeting with or connect with to share what our needs are?
I like that. That's a good idea. I'd love to get our committees more involved with each other. And I think just more involved with our membership too, just because there's a lot of members that join that don't realize that we even offer committees, let alone what types of committees and what they do. And I think it's, it's just like one extra way, like you said, to get to meet other people in the community that you might not have known otherwise. Excuse me.
Because I think committees are nice, too, because with some of the networking events, there's so many people there sometimes that it just becomes a, hi, how are you? You know, you can chat a little bit, but there's only so many people you can talk to in that time frame. But with committees, I mean, sometimes I've been on these calls and there's like six or eight people. Like it's a very small group that's there. So it allows you more one-to-one time to have conversations. So, you know, finding other committees that are small like that too may allow for more, like you said, intermingling with members and talking about what other committees do. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't know much about what the other committees do because I've been the education piece, right? Right. So,
yeah, no, that's a great idea. I'd love to get people more connected and involved. That's the whole point.
Natalie, your turn.
My turn?
Well, if you have any questions for
Yeah, I don't know if I have any questions. It's more just a general comment and a general just thank you for what you do. I definitely echo Rich and just say it's so heartwarming to hear what you do, the impact that you guys are making in the community. And I really appreciate how well you're working with the community and with other educational partners in the community. Because I think if we learned anything from COVID, especially when it comes to the education system, is that, you know, the schools were not built to handle things like this.
Yeah.
You know, the schools were there to teach, but they weren't there to teach kids how to deal with a pandemic or all of these other things that are going on in life. And, you know, everybody's trying their best to figure out the best way to help kids kind of navigate that and learn how to grow up and become functioning adults. And, but I think it's so much better when we can work together
and do
it together. And I think it's just fantastic to hear that that's exactly what you guys are doing and that you guys are always, you know, willing to show up and sit down at the table, and encourage other people to do that too. I think it's just fantastic. So thank you so much for sharing all of that and doing what you do.
Thank you. We're very fortunate because we get to go to work every day and help people, which is exciting stuff. Everybody gets the pleasure of doing that.
And that's the biggest reward you can get.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. So, tell everybody again how they can get in touch with you and the website.
So the website is www.huntingtonhelps.com. And our phone number is 1-800-CAN-LEARN, CANLEARN. So, like I said, easier to remember the numbers.
Melissa, thank you so much.
And, thank you so much.
Like Natalie said, thank you for everything you guys are doing because you guys are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So thank keep
you.
Doing
I appreciate
it. Don't stop.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Harford Business Beat. If you're a member of the Chamber and you would like to come on the podcast, just contact me. Email rbennett, that's 2 N's, 2 T's, at harfordcountyliving.com. Again, rbennett at harfordcountyliving.com. Or you can find me on Facebook or LinkedIn. And we'll go ahead and get it scheduled and get you set up so you can come on. You can tell everybody about your business, whether they're in the Chamber or not. They're going to find out more about you. Again, rbennett at harfordcountyliving.com. Until next time, my name is Rich Bennett with Harford County Living. Stay safe and stay busy.